Welcome to the Voices of Disruption podcast, a space dedicated to showcasing the visionaries of Generation Z, sharing the culture, stories, and lifestyle, and making noise. This is where you'll hear and be a part of conversations about how to continue to turn our loud disruptions into the lives that we can create for ourselves. I'm your host, Deborah Olatunji, a Black woman, education advocate, igniter, poet, writer, and author of the book Unleashing Your Innovative Genius. I'm 18 years old, studying at the University of Pennsylvania, and I absolutely love pineapples. I love podcasting and I love telling stories, and this is the best place to be for all of that and more. We've got so many stories to share, and it's all happening right now. Are you ready to step into your power?
Because we are the voices of disruption.
Hello and welcome back to the Voices of Disruption podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Olatunji. And my goodness, it has been such a long time since I've been on the mic. And this episode is something I've been needing to do for a while, but I also was trying to give myself some grace in navigating this new beginning, which is exactly what this episode is all about. Finding glory in the mystery is a phrase that I wrote down because I journaled so much this past summer. I wrote that down, and when I wrote it down, I felt like I had hit gold, but I never really unpacked it from a podcast perspective of, you know, sitting down, having this chat, trying to think about how this phrase that I wrote down while journaling, and I can't find the journal entry where I wrote this down, so I don't know what else was around it, the surrounding material, but that is the energy that I've tried to take into this new semester and this new half of the year. Because the last time I was on the mic was how the big changes in our lives shape us. It was the one about changing my major, and then the two ones after that were Amanda and Phoebe. And you guys love those episodes. Like, I don't think I fully realized how much people don't talk about shooting your shot or about culture. And those two things are like very different, but culturally you can have a different perspective on shooting your shot. And then in our cultures, like, there's different things that we want to change. And it often takes speaking up and having conversations with other people who have a similar cultural background or the same cultural background that makes you realize things that can change. So those are just two very beautiful episodes with two incredible people. And I just love how you guys received that episode. The other thing that I realized from being away from so long, and I keep getting updates whenever people listen to the episode because Buzzsprout will send a summary of how many listens you get for the week and what milestones you hit. I am doing this really because I love it, and I love sharing stories, and I love just the aspect of getting to sit down with people. And I think when I first started this, because fun fact, I'm sure you already know this, or maybe let me just remind you, the podcast anniversary is tomorrow. So I'm recording this on October 4th, tomorrow's October 5th, and that was when the first episode went live. And when I first started doing this, I didn't have like a real plan or a goal, or I knew that I wanted to keep doing this into my 20s as long as it was something that challenged me as a creative person. But season one was very much like, Gen Z is doing incredible things, focusing on the things that we do and the accomplishments, which are incredible and great. But the energy that I have now towards podcasting and my creative journey in general is just like, it's not just the fact that we're doing these things or creating these things or leading these organizations. It's the people that we're becoming while all the other stuff is happening in the background. And so putting that person or the people who we want to be, the people who we are, the people that we interact with on a regular basis, like putting those stories at the forefront has become such a beautiful adventure. Because when I first started doing this, that wasn't necessarily how I viewed storytelling. And it was very much like, I have an interview, I have a list of questions, and these are the questions I'm going to go with. But now it's like, I've given myself the space to be a lot more fluid and a lot more flexible with creativity and just stories in general. So I'm not surprised. Well, I feel like I'm always surprised whenever I listen and sit down and chat with someone or even talk through something that I might be thinking about on the mic, because it's different every single time. Like, every time I get on the mic, it's a new experience, and I live for that euphoria. It's just incredible. Getting into today's episode, Finding Glory in the Mystery. For starters, I have so many updates. Like, so much time has passed since I've put all my thoughts into an outline and then try to speak them out loud. And then, of course, I'll go through the editing process and have this amazing episode to share. And it just, I'm beaming right now because I wanted to have, there's so many moments in August and September in between the transition of me moving from Boston back to Philadelphia where I wanted to get on the mic. And there were just other times where I just wasn't in a place emotionally where I felt like I could. And this is kind of the first point in finding glory in the mystery. I, for the longest time, realized and knew that people saw me as this person who was very inspirational, who kind of had her things together, who was also figuring things out, but kind of adding in that part as a way to humanize herself. At least that was my perception of how other people saw me. And even when I moved back to school, I'm living with my roommates now, my close friends, but I ran into someone and they were like, oh my goodness, I love what you posted on your Instagram this morning. And it was affirmations. Like I woke up, I usually first speak of school, want to sit down, write some affirmations and put them on a mirror somewhere that I'll see them every single day. And I asked my roommates, I was like, hey, you guys want to write affirmations with me? So we wrote affirmations together and then I shared some of that on my story. But there's so many other parts of this living experience and coming back to campus, like the frustrations, the sense of overwhelm, coming back to an entirely new school, even though I lived here for a whole year, like it did not feel the same and there are just so much more people. But I didn't know how to understand those emotions for myself. And so I took a step away from social media, I took a step away from this presentation of a version of me that I wasn't all the time because it didn't feel real. I was like, this person just ran into me. They're saying good morning. They're like, thank you so much for this inspirational post, but I may very well be feeling absolutely the worst and not knowing how to have the space to ask for help or to talk to other people beyond my therapist about emotional things that can be, you know, talked about with friends and should have the space to be explored and supported and just heard. So I was thinking the same thing with the podcast. I was just like, things have to be perfect. I have to be ready. I have to be in a space where I know what things are. And like, I've already learned the lesson. So I'm not like living the lesson while I'm doing the episode. And the biggest drawback of that is when you're not in the shit, that's how I'm going to say it. When you're not in the shit, like, and you're out of it, you see from the outside the perspective, it's different actually in that moment and you don't have that hope or you don't have that inspiration and you don't know how to vocalize like a sense of frustration or feel aimless or feel hopeless because for a long time that's how I felt. But I was just like, I need to know how this ends before I get on the mic and talk about it. And now I'm at a much better place than I have been over the past few weeks. Which, like, I didn't want to do a disservice to myself of not giving those emotions the space that they needed to be talked through and understood and explored. But at the same time, it's like, the thing that we miss out from that is thinking that we have to be these polished or at least somewhat understandable versions of ourselves before we step up to this microphone to say what we have to say or talk through something or share an idea or share when things aren't going well, because I am not getting on here to say, oh, it's been an incredible, fantastic past 2 months. Like, no, I've learned and grown and have been challenged in ways that I didn't think I would be challenged. And a lot of those challenges were really frustrating and really annoying and things that I didn't necessarily want to go through, but were kind of necessary and essential for moving forward and learning how to let go and let things in. I just want to start on that note, like finding glory in the mystery isn't supposed to be like this mysterious, magical, like happy, inspirational phrase. It's like, there's so many things in this life that we aren't sure of. And this uncertainty is something that our generation has come in contact with now more than ever, as we get closer to living our adult lives and being independent and coming into the people that we are. And it's not like, I don't want it to become this phrase that's like a buzzword phrase. I think that's why when I wrote it down for the first time, I was like, there's something here. I don't know what's there just yet, but it's not something that's a surface level kind of phrase. It's not something that you just like throw on the wall and hope it sticks. Like, it's something that changes in definition in many ways and is something that I've been exploring for the past 2 months. So what have I been up to? I am back in Philadelphia, like I said. I moved back from Boston, was there for 3 months. It was interesting, to say the least. And I learned living with your siblings can be a fun time and also a not so fun time. We had our ups and a lot of downs, and I realized that when you're outside of your childhood home but still living with your siblings, like, you learn things about them that you didn't realize or didn't notice when you guys lived together, because if something went wrong, you could just tell your parents. When you're living with your sibling and it's just you and your siblings and you're adults, you know, you have to deal with things from having, like, adult conversations, like, this is something that makes me uncomfortable, can you stop doing that? Or, it really bothers me when you do this, can we make this adjustment, where can we compromise? And so that was a really eye-opening experience of learning what living with my sisters was like, and honestly wanting for myself to either live with close friends, because the experience has been incredible, or live by myself and know that. And of course, I know people change, situations change, but the thing I loved about this summer was that I wasn't living in Delaware. I was living in a place where I didn't know anything about the area beyond a 2-week summer program from 2 years ago. And that gave me the opportunity to be a stranger. And it was so nice because there weren't any people who I was running into. I had to figure out a lot of things on my own or ask my sister sometimes for their perspective. And sometimes they would be like, oh, I don't know, I haven't explored that area, or I have no idea where that leads. You just have to figure that out for yourself. And that is so refreshing because it also gave me the space to miss Philadelphia and say to myself, you know, this is a city that I really love, a city that I have come to appreciate and adore, but having distance from it, it just amazing. Especially when you've spent so long, like I spent 9 months in Philadelphia and then lived in Boston. And I did go for a little bit in Delaware just before moving into my Boston apartment. But I never like remembering what it's like to be in Delaware because it's not my favorite state. It's not my favorite time to be there. And just emotional wellness wise, it's not a good state for me. And just knowing that, so I'm not like trying to force things or make things work, it's nice. And now something that I want to do going forward is explore a new city every summer. So this coming summer 2022, I don't know where I'm going to be just yet, but I want to go to the South. One of my friends went to Atlanta, Georgia, and she was just beaming. She's just absolutely amazed and blown away by that city. And I'm like, I want to, going into my 20s, going into the last year of my teenage life, I want to explore and be outside of myself and be in situations where I'm having to ask questions in order to understand, because it's been one of the most incredible ways to grow as a person and also as an adventurer on this earth. But now that I'm in Philadelphia, peace has been restored, harmony is is here. I love Philly. Like, I can't express that enough. There's so many things I love about it. Just in both being on campus and being off campus, I've been able to explore a bunch of different areas. Even we're in week 6 now. The semester is going pretty fast, but I think it's because of the amount of presence that I've been able to have and being away from social media from time to time, and not feeling like I had to share every single thing that was happening about my life or every single thing about my classes or how I do things, because I was very much trying to figure out how I did things in this new year, in this new environment. Like, I'm still in the same building that I was in last year. It's not the same living situation. It's not the same energy. It's not the same sense of excitement for my new major. And those were things that I was really excited to dive into. That being said, the classes that I'm taking this semester have been cool. They've been cool in a way that I really like my classes. I really like them. I have a couple that I love, and there aren't any classes where I'm like, ugh, this is awful, this is horrible. There are classes where I'm like, this could use a lot of improvement, and I am hoping that this professor is open to feedback and open to changing things and moving things around. But there haven't been any classes where I'm like, I absolutely hate this and I'm going to drop it. When I first started off the year, though, I had a Wednesday schedule where I had 4 classes in a row, which I would not recommend. Like, I mean, in one day, I had 4 classes starting at 12 and ending at 8:15. And I did that day for the first week of class. I think it was the first day of school. Yeah, that was my first day of school. No, it was my second day of school. Second day of sophomore year, I went to sleep immediately after my intro psych lecture, which was the 3-hour class, the final class of the day, and I was like, I'm not doing that again. And one of the classes that was in that day was a class that I didn't like that much anyway, and I didn't realize that you can walk out of classes if you don't like them. You can just leave. You don't have to stay, especially during the first 2 weeks of school. Like, that's the shopping period. Like, professors know that people are just feeling things out. But I could have just left, and I didn't know that. So I sat through the whole hour and a half just like, I'm not interested in this. Can I leave? Should I leave? What class do I want to add instead? And I was on Pen and Touch, which is the platform we use for dropping and adding classes and planning out your schedule. And I was just like, this is not, I don't want to do this. I don't want to take this. This is not how I want to fulfill the arts and letters sector. There are much more interesting classes that I could take. But it was a comparative literature class, and that's the class that I'm planning on doing for my minor. So that's why I was like, do I really want to leave this? And I was like, yeah, I want to leave this. This professor is kind of weird, and I don't like the energy of this class. So I left. Some of the other classes, though, that I am taking, I'm taking an ABCs course, which is an academically based community service course. And I took one last semester, philosophy of education. I talked about that a little bit in the Changing My Major episode of this season. But essentially, an ABCs course is a class that is different from a traditional college class. In my philosophy class, we didn't have a syllabus. She let us create our own syllabus and decide what we wanted to be graded on, which was very interesting as a first year experience to have a college class where there's no syllabus and you get to have complete creative freedom over what the class is and what topics, the philosophies of different things that your class wants to dive into. That was actually exactly what I was envisioning when I thought about college and my college experience. So that was nice. But then I made the commitment to taking ABC's courses every single semester, or at least once a year until I graduate. And so the one that I'm taking this semester is called August Wilson and Beyond, and it's such an incredible class. It's on the playwright August Wilson, his 10 plays, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Fences, Seven Guitars, King Headley II, The Piano Lesson, and I can't remember, oh, Jitney. I can't remember all of them, but so far they have been very interesting courses, and the class kind of ends with this final project where we create monologues based on these oral history interviews that we do with members of the West Philadelphia community, and it's for them. Like, this class is very much for us to explore West Philly beyond 43rd Street, so that would be like going westbound on the SEPTA. And I've gotten to know the SEPTA very, very well now that I've lived in Philadelphia for over a year. But I always go eastbound, like I always go towards Center City and City Hall, as opposed to going towards like 52nd Street or 60th Street. And that's really West Philadelphia, if we're being honest. And as you go up and up and up, when you go eastbound as opposed to westbound towards more of West Philly, you're going towards the touristy areas of Philadelphia, like Rittenhouse Square. If you like thrifting, on 5th Street, there's Philly AIDS Thrift. On 2nd Street, towards Independence Hall, there's Penn's Landing. Like, those are things that are very touristy, come to Philadelphia. But when you want to get to know a city and you want to get to know its people, you kind of go where those people are, but not in a way that's in their face or like interrupting the ecosystem. And we had an assignment where we had to do a neighborhood visit, and a friend of mine and two other classmates who have become friends, we went to this place called Top Shelf Lounge, which was a incredible jazz bar, the coolest vibes. I felt like we were transported to 1930 Harlem, and it was just so beautiful to see so many older Black people just having a great time. Like, they were full of so much joy, they were laughing, there was live music, there was a band, and we were just sitting down, trying to take it all in, looking around, trying to make it not seem so obvious that we were doing an assignment for school, but also soaking in this environment and wanting to get a sense of whether or not we would return to this place outside of having to do a neighborhood visit. And I definitely want to go back. They have karaoke on Mondays, and that is definitely something that me and my roommates will be exploring. But midterm season is here, so it's probably going to be towards the end of the semester. I'm not sure yet, but just knowing that there's things outside of and beyond 40th Street is a beautiful realization. All right. There's so many more things that I want to say in this episode, but I want to get into the idea of growth and emotional wellness, because those are two things that are very big parts of finding glory in the mystery. So one of the things that I wanted to be intentional about in being a writer, in just existing, honestly, just being here, I think I've been so focused on intentionality that I wasn't realizing that I didn't feel like I had an aim. Like, there were so many moments where I felt like aimless and unmotivated and uninspired, and I was just like kind of shaking it off, like, oh no, you're gonna feel inspired again, like, don't worry, it's just this time or just this week. But it was like a whole month of not feeling inspired and having the resources. Like, I have episodes recorded. I have a charger to charge my laptop so I can edit things, to edit interviews. Like, I have a backlog of things that I could have released, but I was just like sitting and feeling kind of overwhelmed by everything and what I wanted to do for the future. And being a psych major now, I was trying to think about why I was here and like why I'm in college in general, because the reasons why I applied to school and applied to Penn aren't the reasons why I'm here anymore. And coming to terms with that was difficult because I didn't feel like I knew exactly why I was here, and that like affected how I felt about my creative process and the things I was making in general. But also realizing that I didn't want to be like an influencer or like a popular person in, I don't know what's the sense of the word, where it's like you're doing it for the fame. And of course I want my work to reach a lot of people. I want my reading to resonate with people and my podcast to reach lots of downloads and listens, but that wasn't why I felt inspired towards doing those things. And so I was just kind of sitting with these emotions and not wanting to pour from an empty well, but also trying to see the duality of I can be feeling this way towards something, or a certain area of my life may not be going the way that I expected, but that doesn't mean I have to take a full step away from my creative energy and my creative intentions and desires. Like, that doesn't take away the sense of like authority or value that I have in creating in general, because as a creator, you give yourself the authority for everything that you create. You're not waiting for a green light from anyone else but yourself. And if you are, here's the official green light. If you needed it, go after it. You don't need anyone else to confirm whether or not you should be making something or doing something. I don't like the word should. I don't use the word should a lot. I try not to use should in my vocabulary at all. And I just said the word should so many times, but I don't like that word because it adds like a sense of obligation to life in general, when I remind myself on a daily basis that it is a gift to be here and it is an incredible opportunity to exist. Even on the days where I don't believe that and am not in a place mentally where I want to lean into this gift fully. And I have this poem that is on my wall that I look at every single time I sit on my table, and it's from a poet named Rudy Francisco. Absolutely love him. I bought his book, I think it's called Fly Away, and I just had to put his poems everywhere because they were just amazing. But it's a poem called And the Morning Shows Up. And the morning shows up again, like it always does. A reminder that each day comes with free refills. I tell myself that every hour is happy hour, as long as I'm on this side of the ground. And maybe that's a good enough reason to smile and get out of bed. I know it's not the weekend, but Friday and Saturday are watching. Let's give them something to talk about. And I read that every single day. I have it memorized at this point. Like, I scan through it in my mind, but there are other days where I look through every single word and I'm reminding myself that each day a new morning comes up, and it's a kind of a decision to see where my emotional wellness is. Where am I? Is my tank full? There's that example from this camp that I did. It was like, what fills your tank and what empties your tank? And in terms of mental wellness, it's just like, where are you spatially? Like, how is your heart feeling today? How is your head? What's the weather like? In meditation, that's something that they use as an example often. Like, what is the weather in your head? So that you don't feel like you are these emotions. And that was the other thing. I was like, I am noticing feelings of blank instead of saying I am this feeling. But also, whenever I was that feeling, like fully acknowledging it and allowing myself to sit in that feeling instead of moving forward or just pretending like it wasn't happening. And that takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy. And it doesn't feel like you can do much else when you're constantly trying to figure out what the state of your emotions are and what the state of how you're going to react to those emotions on a regular basis, which is what we do all the time. So I want to applaud you and applaud myself for the past, it's October now. Like 2021 has gone by incredibly fast and incredibly slow and at the perfect pace at the same time. And we've navigated through so many different emotions and so many senses of mystery that we still maybe don't know the answers to or we're still figuring out. But I think the glorious part of it is that we've always found a way to come back to ourselves. In one way or another, by listening to this podcast especially, like, you have found a way to come home to yourself and to realize things about yourself. And I don't think I've been giving myself enough credit in the way that I give other people credit, and I haven't been giving other people credit in the way that I should be, not should, in a way that I want to give them credit. And so having that kind of thought process and conversation with myself is something that has filled my well and also drained my well, because I don't want to overthink things. I want to go for things and pursue things that scare me, that terrify me. But at the same time, I want to be true to myself and honor where I'm at instead of forcing myself to do things or to try to move from something that I'm not ready to move from. And it's hard, but being present is one of the best ways to combat that. Because when you're understanding the state of your well, like I said, it's easier to find those things that fill it and to feel that joy and that sense of purpose and hope and inspiration that you've had for life before. Those emotions aren't enough to get us through, I will say that, like having hope and having inspiration. Like I hate toxic positivity and I hate forced or faked happiness. I know there's that phrase like fake it till you make it. I don't like faking it till I make it, because then when emotions have built up and things just overflow, it's like a rush. Like it, you just feel it, which is why I have to journal like every other day or every 3 days or every day sometimes, to the point where there was one journal that was just July, like just reflections from July and some poems. And this journal, this new one that I've started, that's a sage green. It has reflections from September, October, and August. And the length of my reflections aren't nearly as long as they were in July, but I had so much to say and so much to get off my chest. And it reminds me of another quote that I have on my wall from Delia Ricks Wilson. "Darling, you feel heavy because you are too full of truth. Open your mouth more. Let truth exist somewhere other than inside your body." I hope that this episode was able to connect with you and that you are finding glory in the mysterious ways that life unravels itself, and also feeling centered and grounded and surrounded by people who remind you of when your well is empty or that there needs to be some attention towards filling it. I love being back. This is not the first that you will hear from me, and there's so many things that I wanted to get into this episode, but everything that I needed to say for today has been said, and I am going to find peace in that. So thank you again for listening to the Voices of Disruption podcast. I hope that your fall has been incredible, and I can't wait to share more stories and to embrace the joy and the uncertainty, the glory in all of that ahead of us. Love you. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Disruption podcast. We are so glad that you're here. And by we're, I mean Deb. It's so great to be podcasting and to know that there are people who resonate and connect. And so if there's something specifically in this episode that really stuck out to you, take the time to leave a review, reach out to me on Instagram. It really does make my day, and I'd love to hear from you. The Voices of Disruption podcast is all about centering voices and stories of Gen Z authentically. As Voices of Disruption, we recognize that vulnerability is a strength, not a weakness, and embrace storytelling in a way that sparks thought, inspiration, action, and conversation. Every time that you disrupt, you step into a power that allows you to create, uplift, and empower others and yourself. We are Voices of Disruption, stepping into our power together. You can leave a review down below and help us to keep sharing stories that disrupt and change mindsets, actions, and lifestyles. You can also reach out to me at Deb_Olatunji on Instagram and Twitter. Check out the website, www.deboraholatunji.com, or visit the podcast website linked below. Once again, it is so great to have you here, and I hope that you have a fantastic day. See you on the next episode.